The more time that passes, the less hopeful I am that this is an injury that will heal. When I reach the site of our first meeting, I feel certain it's been undisturbed. There's no sign of Rue, not on the ground or in the trees. This is odd. By now, she should have returned, as it's midday. Undoubtedly, she spent the night in a tree somewhere. What else could she do with no light and the careers with their night vision glasses tromping around the woods? And the third fire she was supposed to set, although I forgot to check for it last night, was the farthest from our sight of all. She's probably just being cautious about making her way back. I wish she'd hurry because I don't want to hang around here too long. I want to spend the afternoon traveling to higher ground, hunting as we go. But there's nothing really for me to do but wait. I wash the blood out of my jacket and hair and clean my ever-growing list of wounds. The burns are much better, but I use a bit of medicine on them anyway. The main thing to worry about now is keeping out infection. I go ahead and eat the second fish. It isn't going to last long in this hot sun, but it should be easy enough to spear a few more for Rue. If she would just show up. Feeling too vulnerable on the ground with my lopsided hearing, I scale a tree to wait. If the careers show up, this will be a fine place to shoot them from. The sun moves slowly. I do things to pass the time, chew leaves, and apply them to my stings that are deflated but still tender. Comb through my damp hair with my fingers and braid it. Lace my boots back up. Check over my bow and remaining 9 arrows. Test my left ear repeatedly for signs of life by rustling a leaf near it, but without good results. Despite the gruesling in the fish, my stomach's growling, and I know I'm going to have what we call a hollow day back in District 12. That's a day where no matter what you put in your belly, it's never enough. Having nothing to do but sit in a tree makes it worse, so I decide to give in to it. After all, I've lost a lot of weight in the arena. I need some extra calories. And having the bow and arrows makes me far more confident about my future prospects. I slowly peel and eat a handful of nuts. My last cracker. The gruesling neck. That's good because it takes time to pick clean. Finally, a gruesling wing and the bird is history. But it's a hollow day, and even with all that, I start daydreaming about food. Particularly the decadent dishes served in the capital. The chicken and creamy orange sauce, the cakes and pudding, bread with butter, noodles and green sauce, the lamb and dried plum stew. I suck on a few mint leaves and tell myself to get over it. Mint is good because we drink mint tea after supper often, so it tricks my stomach into thinking eating time is over. Sort of. Dangling up in the tree with the sun warming me, a mouthful of mint, my bow and arrows at hand. This is the most relaxed I've been since I've entered the arena. If only Rue would show up and we could clear out. As the shadows grow, so does my restlessness. By late afternoon, I've resolved to go looking for her. I can at least visit the spot where she set the third fire and see if there are any clues to her whereabouts. Before I go, I scatter a few mint leaves around our old campfire. Since we gathered these some distance away, Rue will understand I've been here, while they'll mean nothing to the careers. In less than an hour, I'm at the place where we agreed to have the third fire, and I know something has gone amiss. The wood has been neatly arranged, expertly interspersed with tinder, but it has never been lit. Rue set up the fire, but never made it back here. Somewhere between the second column of smoke I spied before I blew up the supplies and this point, she ran into trouble. I have to remind myself she's still alive. Or is she? Could the cannon shot announcing her death have come in the wee hours of the morning when even my good ear was too broken to pick it up? Will she appear in the sky tonight? No. I refuse to believe it. There could be 100 other explanations. She could have lost her way, run into a pack of predators or another tribute-like thresh and had to hide. Whatever happened, I'm almost certain she's stuck out there, somewhere between the second fire and the unlit one at my feet. Something is keeping her up a tree. I think I'll go hunt it down. It's a relief to be doing something after sitting around all afternoon. I creep silently through the shadows, letting them conceal me, but nothing seems suspicious. There's no sign of any kind of struggle, no disruption of the needles on the ground. I've stopped for just a moment when I hear it. I have to cock my head around to the side to be sure, but there it is again. Rue's four-note tune coming out of a mockingjay's mouth. The one that means she's all right. I grin and move in the direction of the bird. Another, just a short distance ahead, picks up on the handful of notes. Rue has been singing to them, and recently. Otherwise, they'd have taken up some other song. My eyes lift up into the trees, searching for a sign of her. I swallow and sing softly back, hoping she'll know it's safe to join me. A mockingjay repeats the melody to me, and that's when I hear the scream. It's a child's scream, a young girl's scream. There's no one in the arena capable of making that sound except Rue. And now I'm running, knowing this may be a trap, knowing the three careers may be poised to attack me, but I can't help myself. There's another high-pitched cry, this time my name. Katniss! Katniss! Rue! I shout back, so she knows I'm near, so they know I'm near, and hopefully the girl who has attacked them with tracker jackers and gotten an 11 they still can't explain will be enough to pull their attention away from her. Rue, I'm coming! When I break into the clearing, she's on the ground, hopelessly entangled in a net. She just has time to reach her hand through the mesh and say my name before the spear enters her body. Chapter 18. The boy from District 1 dies before he can pull out the spear. My arrow drives deeply into the center of his neck. He falls to his knees and halves the brief remainder of his life by yanking out the arrow and drowning in his own blood. I'm reloaded, shifting my aim from side to side while I shout at Rue, "Are there more? Are there more?" She has to say no several times before I hear it. Rue has rolled to her side, her body curved in and around the spear. I shove the boy away from her and pull out my knife, freeing her from the net. One look at the wound and I know it's far beyond my capacity to heal. Beyond anyone's, probably. The spearhead is buried up to the shaft in her stomach. I crouch before her, staring helplessly at the embedded weapon. There's no point in comforting words, in telling her she'll be all right. She's no fool. Her hand reaches out and I clutch it like a lifeline, as if it's me who's dying instead of Rue.
"You blew up the food,"
she whispers. "Every last bit," I say.
"You have to win,"
she says. "I'm going to. Going to win for both of us now, I promise." I hear a cannon and look up. It must be for the boy from District 1.
"Don't go."
Rue tightens her grip on my hand.
"Course not.
Staying right here," I say. I move in closer to her, pulling her head onto my lap. I gently brush the dark, thick hair back behind her ear.
"Sing,"
she says, but I barely catch the word.
"Sing, I think."
"Sing what?" I do know a few songs. Believe it or not, there was once music in my house, too. Music I helped make. My father pulled me in with that remarkable voice, but I haven't sung much since he died. Except when Prim is very sick. Then I sing her the same song she liked as a baby. "Sing." My throat is tight with tears. Hoarse from smoke and fatigue. But if this is Rue's last request, I have to at least try. The song that comes to me is a simple lullaby. One we sing fretful, hungry babies to sleep with. It's old, very old, I think. Made up long ago in our hills. What my music teacher calls a mountain air. But the words are easy and soothing, promising tomorrow will be more hopeful than this awful piece of time we call today. I give a small cough, swallow hard, and begin. "Deep in the meadow, under the willow, a bed of grass, a soft green pillow. Lay down your head and close your sleepy eyes And when again they open, the sun will